May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God and our Redeemer. Amen. The disciples are a near constant source of amusement to me when I read the Gospels. Jesus presumably could have picked anybody, and yet he chose these 12 who are kind of bumbling in their misunderstandings, faux pas, and wrong steps. They understand so much about who Jesus is, and yet, on a regular basis, get completely wrong the implications of what they know. They know that Jesus is great, that he is the heir of heaven, that he is changing the paradigm of the world. How else could they ask him, as lowly fishermen, to sit at his side in the kingdom of heaven? They know he will ultimately reign, and they want to be great with him. What they didn't understand was that the paradigm shift didn't mean that now carpenter's sons would be kings and fishermen would reign at his side and lord power over the once high and mighty. The change that Jesus was making was one that moved away from valuing people based on the accumulation of power to one in which people are honored because of their sacrificial service. He was moving from a system in which the king took from the people to one in which the king gave his very life as a ransom for them. He's changing the primary act of leadership into service. And the picture these disciples have in their heads simply no longer makes sense. Jesus changes their understanding of the gospel, of what good news would mean. The good news is not that you can be exalted to a lofty position, but that in your current place, you are already close to God. It's not that you will one day have power over people, but rather that in the economy of God's kingdom, service and sacrifice and sharing are the currency. Jesus does here what Jesus always does. He changes the paradigm. It's no longer about law, but grace. He's not there to condemn, but to save. He did not come to take, but to give. And then he does the other thing Jesus always seems to be doing. He invites everyone else to be part of that ministry. The disciples can sit beside him, but it will have to be in that sort of kingdom. And their seat will be a place of service. Their baptism in him is one of moving into the life of sacrifice. Being the Lord's closest protege will mean being servant of all. This may seem like a funny passage to kick off our stewardship season, especially when last week's gospel was the rich young ruler and the admonition to give away everything. But really, this is the perfect passage for what we're trying to do this year. We're trying to change the understanding of stewardship. Stewardship is not just a yearly fundraising drive. It's actually not that at all. Stewardship is about teaching us to follow Jesus in every aspect of our lives, with every resource we have. This is about encouraging faithfulness and thoughtfulness about how we live out our Christian faith at all times. Stewardship is about making us people who seek and serve Christ in all persons, who strive for justice and peace, and who by word and deed proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ every single day in every sphere of our lives. That's what makes us good stewards. This year's theme is transforming generosity. It has two meanings. It's both a question of how we can think more broadly about what we mean by generosity, transforming our very understanding. How are you being called to be generous in new ways with your resources? How can you share your time and talents with others in ways that are actually life-giving rather than depleting? Are you being generous with forgiveness, even to yourself? Are you generous with giving others the benefit of the doubt, with extending kindness, with your refusal to prejudge? But the theme is also about how we let acts of generosity transform us. How do you let gratitude mold your very being? How can letting go or giving away shape the way you look at the world? How can being generous with your skills and passion transform your relationships with others? This theme is about transforming us into better disciples of Jesus, better stewards of the gospel with which we've been entrusted. I think most of us want the same thing as James and John. We want to be close to Jesus, to sit at his left and his right. But the truth is, you already sit beside Jesus. Every week, he's present here in this space, and you get to sit beside him and eat at his table. How will you live into that reality? What is God calling you to do to serve his church? And we are already baptized with the baptism of Jesus. How will you live out that reality in your daily life, as a worker, as a family member, as a neighbor? What are you already doing to serve other people as Jesus called you to? Or what intentional new step are you going to try to take this year to return part of what God has given you? Those are the stewardship questions we're asking. It's about how we can be faithful disciples. The card asks people how they are going to serve God in the church and how they'll demonstrate their faith beyond the walls of this place. We've given some examples just to expand your imagination, but the truth is, it's up to you to listen to what God's calling you to do. We're asking you to think about those questions over the next few weeks. Pray about them. Seek God's will for you. Then write it on the pledge card as your commitment for the coming year. No one here is going to hound you about how you're doing on that commitment throughout the year. It's really about your making a conscious decision about how you can serve God and other people this year, about how you can be a disciple. And while no one here is going to come after you for not fulfilling your commitment, we are here to help you, to encourage you, even to sit down and talk with you if you're trying to discern what it is that God is calling you to next in your life. That's actually exactly what we're here for. As a church, we're not primarily tasked with making money. We're primarily tasked with making disciples. This stewardship season, we're trying to help you become the best follower of Christ you can be. It's our job to help every member learn to live faithfully into their baptismal promises, to follow Jesus and make his dream for our world a reality. You'll hear in coming weeks from members about how they're doing just that in order to encourage you on your journey. And then we hope you'll make a commitment to take the next step in your own faith life. It's our prayer that we all are truly transformed by this process to be more in the likeness of Christ and to make God's kingdom more readily visible here among us. We hope you join us. Amen.